From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. 12 hours and a little bit more of public testimony stretched into last night. The California State Water Resources Control Board did not make any decisions yesterday about how the state should manage its shrinking water supply. Capital Public Radio's environment reporter Amy Quinton was at the hearing. She joins us now from our Capital Bureau. Hi, Amy.
Good morning, Beth.
Was there an expectation that there would be some kind of immediate change or decision out of this hearing?
Well, it's hard to say what people expected. I mean, this was about how the water projects, both the state water project and the federal Central Valley project, should operate during this drought, whether more water should be sent south. And I suppose the board could have voted on the order right away. But given the testimony, I'm sure they didn't want to rush into a decision, so they'll be making some modifications and coming back later to it.
Describe more of the scene surrounding this testimony. Busloads of people from the Central Valley and emotional at times.
Very emotional. And you did have busloads. I think there was more than 200 people from the Central Valley. But, you know, you also had people from the Delta that were equally as emotional as those in the Central Valley. But talking about the Central Valley, I mean, the Fresno-based community food bank. They actually serve people in five counties. And they're serving almost triple the number of families that they normally serve. People from Porterville, which is also in the valley, they showed up as well, and they depend on groundwater, so you wouldn't think that they would be affected. But farmers who have no surface water have turned to groundwater, and so there's also no surface water to replenish the groundwater. So there's wells that have run dry in Porterville. Yolanda Fraustau is a resident of Porterville, and here's what she's dealing with.
I've been out of water for 8 months, and my son has a chronic disease. He has cystic fibrosis, so I'm sorry. It just makes it harder to, every day it's harder.
We heard lots of testimony like that from people who have no water or who are out of work, and they're depending basically on social services right now to get by. And we even heard testimony about people moving out of state to look for work because there's just none here.
These decisions are complicated, Amy, but it sounds like this is a choice between water for fish or water for people. Is it that clear cut if you boil it down?
Well, I think it's more complex than that. I mean, you can boil it down to that, but you can say it's water for people in the Central Valley, but it's also water for people in the Delta. I mean, they depend on the ecology there in the estuary for their livelihood, whether it be tourism or fishing or just living there for quality of life. So it can be about people versus people, if you wanted to put it that way as well.
I think there's some thought that people can move. The fish can't move, and we're talking about smelt and salmon, and those populations in terms of the ecology of the state do connect to people in the long run. I think that's the argument on that side.
Right. And we've had a difficult year for the fish populations. One of the things that they talked about last night was, you know, we've seen a 95% mortality rate in the winter run Chinook salmon. The Delta smelt population is the lowest it's ever been in history since they've been looking at it. And other species are also suffering. Dave Bitts, he is with the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Association. He's actually from Eureka, but he's a salmon fisherman, commercial fisherman, and he depends on these fish populations. Here's what he had to say.
Fishermen can survive a lean year, but the fish cannot survive a bone dry year, 3 years in a row, and they're gone. And then we never have them again. So when there's not enough water for anyone, survival is the issue. And I hope that you will be able to find the wisdom and the courage to find a way to use the few drops we have so that we can all survive until better times.
Let's put a number to the few drops, the amount that the DWR and the Central Valley Project would like to have as an additional source of water. How much would they like?
They're looking for about 80,000 acre feet. Now, an acre foot is enough for a typical household of four for a year. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have people suffering like they are, you know, as a person from the Central Valley Project said, every drop counts.
And there's an executive director's order right now, an order from Tom Howard, and that's what's in flux. That order can be modified, right?
That's correct. And in fact, the order was approved. And what it basically says is the State Water Project and the Central Valley Project, it dictates how they can operate during this drought. Most of the changes they made were the same way the projects operated last year. But both the Department of Water Resources and the Bureau of Reclamation asked for this extra 80,000 acre feet. So really, the public hearing was all about, well, can we give them that extra water that they want? And that's sort of, you know, where they are deciding if this is going to harm the fish, how much would it harm the fish? They have a legal obligation, obviously, under the Endangered Species Act for, you know, to keep that species or keep those species alive. So, yeah, they can modify it. And, you know, that's what they're stuck with trying to decide.
So, Amy, the state of California has emergency drought legislation and funding right now that helps provide water to some areas. That's a completely separate discussion and issue from what the Water Board deals with, correct?
Yes, very, very much so.
Okay, so now we've got this testimony yesterday and the board not compelled really under any timetable or for any reason or by any other agency to make a decision.
Well, that's not necessarily true because the order was about how the projects would operate within the next couple of months. So they're going to have to do something and do it fairly quickly. In fact, they were saying last night they didn't even want to wait until March to make a decision. And come April, they're going to have to also change the way the projects operate. So we're going to, it's sort of a continuing discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Amy. I know you have more coverage that people can read and find at capradio.org. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And there is more also at capradio.org/insight. You are listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio.